This forum is not intended to be a debate between candidates or between the audience and the candidates, but rather an opportunity for citizens to hear each candidate's position on topics important to us all. In order to maintain decorum, political literature and signage will not be allowed in the room. The audience is requested to remain silent. No cheers, groans, coughs, etc. So let's begin. First, the challenger is from the Democratic Party is Dee Dee Adams. Would you first tell us a little bit about yourself and why you chose to run?
I'm Dee Dee Adams again. Excuse the voice. Like I told everyone, I've been running for 22 months, and it's kind of getting to it, but it's good. I was born and raised in Winston-Salem all my life. My parents came to North Carolina from South Carolina. They were the first generation off the farm, 1949. My dad was a World War II vet. My mom cleaned houses for judges and lawyers. They both ended up in manufacturing. He at Reynolds and she at Carolina Narrow Fabric. They had seven children. I'm the one in the middle, the one that they said was always doing stuff I didn't need to be doing. But 40 years of manufacturing, retired 5 years ago, process engineer, high performance team manager, supervisor, and other things. On the city council in Winston, going on 10 years, I was elected in 2009. I'm in my third term. I'm vice chair of finance and Vice Chair of General Government, Housing, and Community Development. I have served on a lot of boards and things nationally, statewide. I'm running to save our democracy. I'm running because I believe in the future of this country. I'm running because it's people like me that stand in the gap that's been a public servant volunteer for over 35 years. I won't stop, I can't stop. I believe in the goodness of the future of this country and America. And so, therefore, I'm running because I believe we need a change of direction. And like I tell people, I want more for everybody. But I can only want as much as you want for yourselves. I am really hoping that you'll give me a chance to become your representative.
The incumbent in representing the Republican Party is Virginia Fox, who has been our Congress representative for, what, seven terms now?
Right.
Go ahead.
Well, thank you, Omer, and I want to thank both of the Chambers of Commerce for putting on this forum tonight. It's a good way to allow people to understand a little bit more about the issues that are involved in this election. I grew up in Avery County, moved there when I was six and a half years old. Grew up in a house with no electricity, no running water. Was blessed when I was 14 years old for my family to move into a house with electricity and running water. And when I talk particularly to school children, I tell that story and I say, I'm not either complaining or bragging. I'm just saying that we live in the greatest country in the world, where a person like me who grew up in extreme poverty has the opportunity to use her talents for the good of other people. And my goal is to keep our country that way. I want everybody to be able to use his or her talents to the highest and best ability. And that's what I work on. My record is out there for everybody to see. I have a conservative track record, and the work I've done for North Carolina and the constituents of the 5th Congressional District, it's there. Most of you don't have to guess where I stand on the issues. Most people know where I am. My reputation is of fighting for conservative principles and of working hard on behalf of every single constituent in this great district. I'm proud of the accomplishments we've made, particularly over the past couple of years, whether it's reforming workforce development programs, simplifying and reforming our tax code, improving our national security, or pursuing policies that have created record job growth, we've made real tangible progress.
All right, we'll begin our questions and they'll have 1 minute to respond. We'll start with Dee Dee Adams. President Trump's tariffs are now in place and the country's being charged tariffs does not actually pay them, the end user does. Watauga County just broke ground 2 weeks ago on a new rec center, initially estimated to cost local taxpayers $35 million. Now with tariffs, the cost of materials will increase the price to over $38 million. Do you support these tariffs or do you believe in free trade?
I don't support the tariffs. Again, I think the tariffs, along with a lot of other things that have been done, affect small businesses, our farmers, our agriculture system, and even every one of us. You know, to think that, you know, that these tariffs, you know, to provoke a trade war, you know, that has got everybody feeling pretty uncertain right now, that we need to look at who it's affecting. Again, craft brewery, tourism, and everything else, you know, disproportionately affecting the small business people and the everyday Americans. And I don't care how people spend it, it's not a good thing. I think just like anything else, you got to go into tariff wars or anything else and be able to have a discussion and negotiate what's on the table and what the ramifications are going to be. Just because you can do things like that doesn't mean that it's fair and it's just for the citizens of the United States. So no, I'm against the tariffs.
Congresswoman Fox.
I've always been a free trader. I'm not in favor of tariffs. The president himself has said, let's get rid of all tariffs. That would be the way that I would go, would be to have no tariffs at all and have true free trade between nations. We have seen, though, that as a result of strong policies, we've seen a renegotiation of what has been called NAFTA into the USMCA, the US-Mexican-Canadian agreement, which I believe will benefit the United States of America, and everybody who's looked at it believes that. So I think that it is important that we set a standard for what we will put up with and do everything we can to put the United States of America first.
All right. Trump administration has eliminated numerous regulations affecting large and small business, and many people are happy about that. But some of these regulations are actually protections for water and air. Small businesses struggle with challenges every day with regulations. What's the right balance of regulation that makes sense for small business yet provides protections for workers and the environment? Congresswoman Fox.
I don't believe in doing away with all regulations. We obviously want clean air, clean water, safe housing, safe food. So I believe we should eliminate unnecessary duplicative regulations. And in this administration, that's exactly what has happened. In 1995, Congress passed almost unanimously a bill called the Congressional Review Act that would allow Congress to undo bad regulations. From the year 1996 to 2017, only one CRA was passed and signed into law. In the first few months of the Trump administration, 14 were passed, four that came out of my committee and one that I got passed, five out of my committee. So I want to do away with unnecessary regulations. They cut down the cost of doing business.
D.D. Adams.
Well, there always has to be rules and has to be policy, process, regulations. But again, when we are creating these regulations or doing away with regulations that protect our air and our water, you know, protect small businesses, protect, you know, families, then I do have an issue with that. I believe, again, and you're going to hear me say this over and over again, because I come out of a manufacturing background that respected our customers and listened to them and listened to what our expectations were for them. And I see regulation like that. You know, we can spin some of this stuff any way we want, but I think one of the issues we have is the regulations that are in place, with before you can just write an executive order to get rid of them, you again need to be talking to your constituents as to how this is going to affect them and their families. And I think right now, when we allow big companies in energy not to pay for their cleanups and we taxing us with it, that's a problem.
All right, next question. How do you plan to support funding for deferred maintenance for our national parks? Obviously, the Blue Ridge Parkway is one of the important arteries here in the high country and its impact on tourism. This will be Dee Dee Adams.
Well, I tell people you can call me a tree hugger if you like. I believe, again, the thing that we have on the table, again, we got to protect our country and our lands and things like that. We have to. And that includes the environment, and, yeah, I believe in climate change. But I believe that if we could get a deal on the table, an infrastructure deal, the same one that President Obama tried to get done, that we can put a lot of people to work, just like Franklin Delano Roosevelt did with the New Deal, when it comes to our parks and our infrastructure and things like that. The Blue Ridge, the mountains, the Appalachia, all of that, is they're jewels. And it's up to government and representatives to always look after your district and what represents this country as to what it is. I would fight for that. I would do whatever's necessary if it means, again, employing people to do forestry or anything else to protect the forest, the Blue Ridge, and the Appalachia while balancing it with sustainable energy jobs and things like that.
Congresswoman Fox.
Thank you. Growing up in Avery County and living in Watauga all my life, I am extraordinarily well aware of the importance of the Blue Ridge Parkway to this area and into the entire 5th District. I held a roundtable yesterday in Blowing Rock with representatives from this area to talk about the work that I have done. I've done an op-ed on that. I am one of the original co-sponsors of a piece of legislation that would set up a legacy fund that would allow money coming in from drilling to go into a long-term fund that would help with the deferred maintenance on the parkway. When my husband was in college, he built camps at Price Park. So again, we know very much how important it is, and I'm fighting hard for money for maintenance for the Blue Ridge Parkway.
All right, next question. The Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare, did what it was supposed to, give more people opportunity to be covered by health insurance. But it's done little to control the cost of health care or drug costs. What is your solution for controlling costs? Congresswoman Fox.
Well, Omar, the presumption of your question, I would take a little comment to when you said the Affordable Care Act did what it was supposed to do, get more people onto health insurance. Mostly the people that it got on health insurance were on Medicaid, which we could have done without the Affordable Care Act. My solution to what to do to bring down the cost for health insurance and health care is to let the market work. It is beginning to do that with we have eliminated the individual mandate, and the administration is doing many things. It announced something today, which I didn't get a chance to read about, but we are moving in the right direction, and I think we will be able to fix all the problems. And by the way, no Republican voted for it, and we predicted every problem that has occurred with it.
Dee Dee Adams.
Well, I was a supporter for the Affordable Care Act, like I said it from the beginning. I've had lots of workshops in Winston-Salem to sign people up. I believe health care is a right and it's not a privilege. And I believe that we as a country need to afford everybody affordable health care. The dismantling and repeal of Obamacare was one of the worst things this country could have done. We are one of the so-called leaders of the world, and we don't even have health care for our populations as a whole. If we continue to wait on the market to adjust and shift, as we've seen over the years, the price gets higher, people can't afford it, sick people die, and children. That's just the way it is. I believe that what we have is we give, whether it's single-payer, universal, whatever it is, but we need to do that again, a discussion, get the subject matter experts in the room, practitioners, consultants, patients, doctors, educators, everybody, and we figure this thing out as to how to work it. If I'm elected, we're going to have health care for all.
Well, that leads to my next question. Republicans tried to repeal the Affordable Care Act last year and promised a replacement that never materialized. President Trump promised a cheaper replacement, which covers more, keeps popular parts, including keeping children on insurance till they're 26, and protecting pre-existing conditions. Right now, 33 attorney generals from Republican-dominated states are suing in federal court to remove pre-existing conditions, saying they're unconstitutional. Medicare and Social Security are the two most popular government programs today. Is it time for Medicare for All? Dee Dee Adams.
Yes, it is. Again, it could be Medicare for All, it could be single payer, it could be private pay, it could be a whole montage of things. But until we have the conversations with all the people that need to be in the room, we're not going to be able to just land on one thing. It might not be one thing. You know, Medicaid, Medicare, Social Security, all of these things work in tandem together. And when you got 30 attorney generals fighting to try to make sure that poor people have access to health care, you know, I have pre-existing conditions. I got two. You know, everybody I know basically has one or two. And again, I think we can do this if we bring the pharmaceutical companies, the insurance companies to the table. We can find a way to fix this. ACA was just a step-off platform, prototype launch. Now we got something we can tweak, and now we can look at something, see what we can work to make better or what needs to be fixed.
Congresswoman Fox.
Government-run health care is not the answer. I would ask anybody in here, do you know anything that the government does better than the private sector, except spend money? What we need, again, is sensible health care insurance. North Carolina had a plan. We had a high-risk plan. Most states had high-risk programs. Before Obamacare was passed, 85% of the people in this country were covered with health insurance through their employer. It was a very successful way to do it. We do not need government-run health care.
The founders called for uniform bankruptcy rights in the Constitution. There are a number of students who are saddled with huge debt after graduating from college and have been hurt badly under a big government predatory lending system. What is your attitude or what are your desire to solve the problem of excessive student loan debt? Congressman?
Well, I know this subject pretty well, being the chairwoman of the Education and Workforce Committee. I've studied a lot. The average student loan debt right now in this country is $27,000. That is not insurmountable debt. You hear the stories of huge debts, and there are people, particularly going to professional schools, have much larger debt than that. But the average student has $27,000. That's basically a car payment. Our big problem, again, in this country is that many students are not completing their education. Those who complete are able to pay back their debt. What we have to have is schools that care enough about the students to help them complete and be in a position to help pay back their debts because they have good-paying jobs in order to do that.
Dee Dee Adams.
Okay. Sorry. I personally think that we should allow student loans to be discharged in bankruptcy. I believe that students should be able, and people with student loan debt should be able to negotiate their loans, just like people do in bankruptcy and income tax. I believe that, and you know, I don't know. Every student or person I've talked to got more than $27,000 worth of debt. If the jobs were out here that we would have created 5 to 10 years ago to allow them to have carried this much debt and to be able to make a so-called car payment on $27,000 loan, which would probably be about $300-$500 rent, whatever, I don't see that happening. We need to give them an opportunity to have the same quality of life the rest of us had. right now in the economy that we have, the jobs aren't paying the money that these people are going to school for. Expunge their debt. The bankruptcy allowed, the loans allow them to negotiate, renegotiate. Expunge it. Give them the good credit. Let them go live their life. If you told somebody that owed $27,000 worth of debt, get your mama, dad, everybody, y'all write the government a $10,000 check, go live your life, good credit, everybody would do it. I'm just saying, I think we need to help our future generations to be able to have a quality of life.
All right, this next question, I don't know if you're going to be able to answer this in 60 seconds, but we'll give it a go. President Trump blames Democrats for problems with our immigration laws, but the last time I looked, Republicans are in charge of Congress, the presidency, and the Supreme Court. So give me a common sense answer to the immigration problem. Dee Dee Adams.
As I said before, the thing with my country, and I love it to death, we're at a place right now, we don't even want to have conversations, serious discussions. Again, get the subject matter expert, continuous improvement, kind of run it like manufacturing. We don't want to do that. Our immigration system has been broken for decades. All we need to do now is figure out how to make it better. Is it going to go away overnight? No. But some of the tactics we're using now, such as ICE, separating children from families, locking up innocent children, that is not the way to do this. We need a plan, and the process we have maybe needs to be tweaked or made better, but I believe we can do that. I honestly believe we can do that.
Congresswoman Fox.
Okay, Elmer, I'll take exception with another comment you made. You said Republicans are in charge of the House, the Senate, the White House, and the Supreme Court. I don't think the Republicans are in charge of anything. We have a majority in the House and a majority in the Senate, and we do have a Republican president, but we're not in charge, we're a majority. We need border security. And our immigration system has not been working very well over the past few years because we have a convoluted system that does not allow employers to easily be able to recruit and hire people who want to come here and go to work. And that's what we need to do. We need to reform the immigration system so that we can bring people into this country legally and they don't come. By the way, nobody mentions that 40% of the people here illegally came legally and have overstayed their visas.
Touching on that same issue, what should be done with the DACA kids? Congresswoman Fox.
Well, first, we secure the border. That is our number one goal, and that should be our number one priority. A country that does not have a secure border is not a country. So that is our number one issue. Once we secure the border, then we can start talking about what do we do with the illegal aliens who are here. And by the way, that is the appropriate term. It is what is in the statute. So I want us to secure our border. By the way, if you say, oh, we should open the borders to anybody who wants to come in here, our population in this country is about 320 million. It is estimated that about 170 million people would come from South and Central America if we opened the borders. We can't absorb that many people into this country. So I want to see border security. I want to do a better job of doing something with the people who come here legally and stay illegally.
Dee Dee Adams.
Well, for one thing, I don't believe in building a wall. I believe that we could do whatever it is we want to do if we want to secure our borders, and we do need to do that. With all of the technology and innovation that we have in this country, we can come up with something better than building, spending billions of dollars on a wall. Again, it goes back to what I said. Our immigration plan needs work, and we need to get subject matter experts in the room to figure it out. I believe that the American people can help us with that. I believe DACA, they should be allowed to stay and given a pathway to freedom and American citizenship. They've been born here anyway. They work. They can't get a license. They can't vote. This is the only home they know. I believe, again, that if we have a real plan, We can improve our immigration system, but we cannot. Again, I do believe we do have to secure the borders. I like what we got going on now. But we don't need to build walls to do that. We need to benchmark other countries that have to face similar things as this as well.
I'm just sitting here thinking that I've got 40 years of experience in media. And I'm often frustrated with the lack of media literacy in the voting electorate. A headline is supposed to capture attention, but the story provides the information. Instead, we see people sharing stories on Facebook or the internet without reading with skepticism the balance of the story that's created more than enough confusion in the voting public. Recently, a headline saying Congresswoman Fox was the only no vote on Hurricane Florence relief didn't tell the whole story. Reading further, she shared a reasoned explanation for her vote. So my question to you both is, what else do the media and voters get wrong about you, and what's the truth? Dee Dee Adams.
What do they do? What?
What do they get wrong about you, and what is the truth?
About me? I'm too passionate. I care about everything and everybody. That they got wrong. They see me as being an angry black woman, an aggressive, assertive black woman. They said I was very progressive, something, too far left. But I'm me. Again, I grew up on the summers on the farm in the country in South Carolina, taking two watermelons on each shoulder and pulling rosemary's, for y'all that don't know, that's corn, killing chickens by wringing necks and stuff. I'm me. I'm a fighter. I'm a warrior. I believe in what's right and what's just. I believe in taking the time to find out what's truth and what's not. And when I make a mistake, I'll tell you I made a mistake. If I do something wrong, I'll tell you I did something wrong. But I'll always talk to my constituents. I do that even in Winston.
Congresswoman Fox.
Well, we don't have enough time tonight to talk about how many things the media gets wrong about me. But let me just correct the one thing, Omer, that you brought up, and that is that I voted against hurricane relief. I voted for hurricane relief in the appropriations bill. I support hurricane relief funding. I did vote against the FAA reauthorization bill that was voted on the same day as the hurricane relief bill. The FAA bill is one of those bills that my constituents hate because it was a Christmas tree. What they knew it was a must-pass bill because we've got to keep the FAA operating and running. And so they put on to that bill several things that shouldn't have been there. Funding to support an export-import bank kind of situation, and three or four other things. So I voted against a Christmas tree bill called the FAA reauthorization. It had a very small amount of money in there for CDBG, which would not have given money for hurricane relief immediately. But I voted for hurricane relief.
But the headline did suggest that about you, and that's why I said there is a...
That's right. And by the way, 23 people voted against that bill.
All right. A research group called More in Common has identified what they call seven tribes among American voters. Despite what many people think is a 50-50 split in political opinions, the extreme right makes up only 6% of the electorate, and the extreme left is only 8%. They claim that actually 67% is what they call the exhausted middle. This tells me that we're more alike than we're different. That we want Congress to get things done with compromise rather than one train of thought, my way or the highway. So let me ask what the opposition proposes that makes sense to you and you'd be willing to compromise to make it work for all America. I'll start with Congresswoman Fox.
Well, thanks, Omer. I know, again, that we're mostly in the middle. In fact, in the last session of Congress, you will be shocked to know that 95% of the bills that passed with bipartisan support. I routinely co-sponsor bills with Democrats, and Democrats routinely co-sponsor bills with me. So again, the media portrays people at each other's throats all the time, and that is simply not the fact. I tell people all the time, I have a Bible study on Wednesday mornings that is bipartisan. Not only do I like the women who are in the other party in that Bible study, I love them. Thursday mornings, we have a prayer breakfast, and it's both men and women. And it's bipartisan. It's been going on for 75 years. We like and love each other. We work together in the Congress despite what the media tries to tell you.
Dee Dee Adams.
I believe that we all... Trying to electrocute me. Huh? I believe that we all want the same thing. I don't care who we are. We all want a good job, a quality of life, want our kids to go to school, good neighborhoods, safety. You know, we all want the same thing. But right now in America, don't get me wrong, the people that are crafting and creating the policies and ordinances and a lot of it at the federal level, I don't think they really get it anymore. I believe in term limits, folks. I believe that once you get past the president being able to be there 8, 2 terms for senators is 12, 5 terms for Congress is 10, I think that's enough. By then, there are generational changes that some of us think that people don't get. I think that at the end of the day, that people want the same thing and they look for their leaders to make that happen. And when we're constantly at each other and we're changing the rules to the game and we're not allowing America to be at its best, when I'm elected, I'm gonna fight for what's right and what's just. I'm gonna talk to everybody. I've said that and I mean it. I've worked with Republicans, being on the League of Municipalities Board of Directors for 6 years, and I now sit on the National League of Cities Board of Directors. And there are more Republicans than Democrats. I can work with anybody, but I'm gonna fight for my people.
Okay, next question. I used to do my own taxes. Unfortunately, it's now so complicated, I have to hire someone to do it for me. Last year, Congress reduced taxes, but did little to eliminate complexity. Why can't our income tax system be simplified? What do you recommend? We'll start out with Dee Dee Adams.
I believe it can be simplified, but I also recognize that when you take away what Americans work for every day and don't allow them to be able to write stuff off as deductions, to think that you can give everybody the same percentage, deduction, or whatever, it doesn't work that right. Right now, I know a lot of people, you know, the present party can say, well, people are taking more money home. Yeah, the people that's making the most money are taking more money home, but the people that's not are not. But yet, they tell you, you know, that we need to make it, as the president said, he wanted to put it on a postcard. I don't think that's the way to do it. Again, I think you need to get the people in the room that are affected by the ones, the subject matter experts that make the rules. They need to be sure they're talking to the rest of us. There was a time when you could write off your car interest, you could write off credit cards, you could write off all kinds of stuff. But now you can't. Even people like me who are single, no children, I have a house, and at times they talk about taking that away, my mortgage interest. You know, I think we need to look at the vast majority of Americans and what it is that affects us the most when it comes to our income tax system. Can it be better? Yes. The thing that we fail to do as a country, we don't want to improve anything old. We want to stay stuck on what's old instead of making it better with innovation.
Congresswoman Fox.
Well, we did a great job with the Tax Cut and Jobs Bill last year with getting a lot of people off the tax rolls. First of all, we cut taxes for all but the top 10% of earners in this country. So we did a great job. Between North Carolina and the federal government, many, many more people are not paying any taxes, not completing any tax forms now, and I think we've done a pretty good job. But I am a co-sponsor of the Fair Tax, H.R. 25. I've been a co-sponsor of the Fair Tax since soon after I went to Congress. It wasn't my first term there. But that is a way for people to be able to pay the same taxes. And most people now, Omer, will be able to do their taxes on a postcard based on what we did in the last session of Congress.
All right, we've come to the end of the question session. This is your opportunity with 2 minutes to wrap up and ask for these people's votes. We'll start with Congresswoman Fox.
Thank you very much. And I want to thank all of you who came tonight and anybody who's listening on the radio. My top priority, if I am reelected, is to continue to represent all of the people in North Carolina's 5th Congressional District. I have done that. My emphasis is on continuing to do that and put them first in everything that I do. The constituents are the most important people to me. I will continue to fight for the people of North Carolina and ensure that the federal government is responsive and accountable to every single one of them. I also believe that the principles of freedom and individual liberty are American ideals that are worth fighting for every day and that still need protecting. And I will continue to fight for those ideals. If I'm given the honor to continue to represent the people of the 5th District, I'll continue to pursue policies that encourage job creation and economic growth that make healthcare more affordable, more accessible, and more patient-centered. I'm proud to have been part of a group that has helped create the situation in our country where we have 7 million unfilled jobs. And those are not low-income jobs. Those are jobs that pay high wages. But we do not have the people in this country with the skills to fill those jobs. And that's been one of my main emphases since I have been in the Congress of the United States. No one needs to know where I stand or whether I'll fight for common sense conservative principles. I have a clear and proven track record as someone who won't back down from fighting for constituents and those common sense solutions. I am probably the most accessible member of Congress in the Congress of the United States, and I'm very proud of it. I'm honored to serve and look forward to another term. Thank you very much.
Dee Dee Adams.
First of all, thank all of you for being here this evening and being engaged. What we're seeing across the country is a new level of engagement, not just here in North Carolina, but everywhere else. When elected, I will work tirelessly for you in Washington, D.C., and within the 5th District. I've been running for 22 months, and I've traveled the district and know that bringing urban and rural together to create opportunities and solve problems will benefit all of our communities. Thriving communities raises all of us up. While in the district, I will hold public meetings, town halls, and whatever it takes to develop cross-district advisory systems to inform my decision-making. My focus is to create a safe and healthy society, a fair tax code, a strong and well-educated workforce, and a diverse economy base, economic base. We may have 7 million jobs, but we don't have 7 million people trained to get those jobs right now, and that's a problem that needs to be taken care of. I believe that within our local communities and in our greater society, we will benefit when we all lift each other up, especially those who've fallen, support families so they can return to prosperity, and ensure a secure and safe workplace that pays a decent, livable wage. It's time for a change in the 5th District, and the 5th District deserves a representative that pays more attention to them than their ideology. The 5th District, if they want better education, then I'm your candidate. The 5th District, if you want health care, then I'm your candidate. The 5th District, if you want a better economy in your communities, training for the jobs of the future, and for the future of our families and children, I'm your candidate. If the 5th District wants someone that's going to work tirelessly, like I've done for the past 35 years of my life, representing what's right and what's just, willing to listen to all of you and to be your representative and not just a few, then you need to elect and vote for Dee Dee Adams. Thank you so much.
You know, this is not easy. It's time-consuming. It's hard work. And these people have really given their all tonight. Let's give them a big hand.